This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
That time of the week, once again, folks, another edition of Thursday Coast, your favorite segment and mine here on MIP with the founder of the largest online progressive community there is, still holding strong, dailycoast.com. Marcos Melitzis is with us. Marcos, how are you, buddy?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Well, I want to begin this way, though. It's, I'm speaking of the community, and we may have touched on this a little bit before about the shifts in terms of audience and engagement in when progressives, party or government is in power, Democrats, obviously, or not. And we also know the vibe. I mean, everybody's kind of fatigued, burned out. Lord knows everybody has, in a lot of ways, forgotten how to resist. I mean, folks are pulling me, oh, we're going to do it. You know, is any of that reflected in your audience on Daily Coast in terms of what's going on there?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, there's a hardcore of activists that are loyal and our daily visitors and are very active and doing everything that, you know, keeping up with the news and obsessing about it and debating it for sure. But we did lose a significant portion of people who were more casual political observers or political junkies, right? And I'm telling you, Mark, 8 years of Trump was enough for people. It broke people, right? And not only 8 years of Trump, but 8 years of fighting Trumpism. And then he actually won more votes, right? It's like we went backwards. And I think there was just a sense of frustration and resignation. And it's one thing if Trump loses the popular vote and gets into office because of our messed up system, but he won the popular vote, right? So I think that just kind of broke a lot of people. And I've been saying, and I know it's not good business to say so because, you know, we generate revenue by having people visit, but I actually think it's good for people to take a bit of a breather if they can. You and I, we can't. And sometimes I wish I could, Mark. Sometimes I wish I could just turn this crap off, even for a few months, just for a few months, and just kind of and like be blissfully unaware of all the crap. We can't do that. A lot of people can't do that. But a lot of people can, and they have. And life is hard enough as it is. The cost of living is high. You got to raise kids. You got to deal with work. You know, so people are, I think it's okay for people to tune out for a little while. Now, we better get them back next year.
Yeah. We're going to have to.
Yeah. But for now, the news is just unbearably bad. Every freaking day, it seems to be worse. And there is no bottom to this administration. So I don't think it's unreasonable for people to want to tune out for a while. And then come back, hopefully refreshed, rejuvenated, and ready for the battles ahead in a climate that's going to definitely favor Democrats. And I think people are going to be a lot more, just general voters, are going to be a lot more receptive to the Democratic message, right? I've been writing about this, Mark. Everybody's hurting economically. Mm-hmm. Republicans won people making less than $50,000 a year. Trump overwhelmingly won people. It was like 70% of people who said inflation was stressing them out. I forget the exact question, right? But it was like a significant challenge. He won like 70-some percent of it. And who did Kamala Harris win? People who didn't care about inflation because they're already well off enough, right? It's us urban elite. I mean, it's people who don't have to look at the prices of groceries when they're in the grocery store. They can put whatever they want in the cart and they don't have to think about it.
Right.
That's who Democrats won. That's who Democrats continue to win. What Republicans were able to do is to tap into people who are absolutely struggling. And it was as simple as, I'm going to lower prices on day one. It was a BS promise. Never had a chance. It made no sense. Like from a practical perspective, it made no sense. They wanted to hear. They wanted to hear somebody say, things are bad and I see you. And I'm just as guilty as a lot of people, Mark, but we were like, well, jobs are high, unemployment rate is low, we're better off than the rest of the world, inflation-wise. Like, there's all these, you can point to all these stats, but people weren't feeling that. And the people that were feeling that, okay, great, like they voted for Harris, wasn't enough of them. More people are feeling that economic distress. And I know you haven't asked me, Mark, and I'm just kind of going off of my tangents here, but this is what Mamdani's superpower is right now in New York City. I don't have a lot of faith in a lot of his promises, but it doesn't matter because what he's signaling is, I see you, cost of living is high. Every one of my proposals is geared towards lowering the price of cost of living. And whether he can pull it off or not, that's a different question, right? And there's the realities of governing versus the realities of, but first you got to get elected. That's the most important job any politician has. That's number one job is get elected. And Donald Trump and Mamdani, from completely different ends of the political spectrum, had that same message. And it's a powerful message and it resonates. And there's a difference between Mamdani saying, I'm going to freeze rent, which is like an immediate sort of, you feel it in the gut, like, yeah, no more rent increases, please. And then Andrew Cuomo, who had a, we're going to invest in more housing and we're going to build buildings. And you think, first of all, you're going to have the money for that. Then it's going to be years of permitting and then years of construction. Right. And then maybe like 10 years from now, that first building is going to finally go up. And is it going to be enough to actually lower rent? Like, I'm not saying Cuomo's proposal was wrong. You need that. Like, you need more housing. That's how you lower the price of housing. You build more housing. You increase demand. But one of them speaks to people's immediate concerns. And one of them is sort of this abstract in the future. And this is the problem with like the climate change people, right? Like, people are, they have to worry about now. And you're like, oh, well, Miami's going to be underwater in 100 years. Well, okay, great. Not my problem in 100 years. And these are the sort of challenges that people, when our side speaks in these abstract or proposals that are complicated and take multiple steps, and you're going to see the benefits way down the road when they're hurting today, the person that speaks to that immediate concern is going to win. And I think Democrats need to be paying attention and learning from Donald Trump and from the New York governor's race, mayor's race, that immediate impact is what people speak to that. Another reason to let people know that you see them.
Yeah. That's very important. And cannot be taken for granted. Of course, I'm here in New York, and Mamdani has taken the city by storm. And I think he can win.
Absolutely.
Because, I don't know. I can't figure out why people would vote for Eric Adams. I mean, if you take away everything else, the fact that he was indicted and charged, and then Trump pardoned him, and it wasn't just, it was one pardon, and it didn't look like a normal pardon. People get pardoned all the time, but it looked like a quid pro quo.
It was.
And I mean, it's pretty transparent and it's nasty. So I'm not sure if something, but then, hey, listen, and I know you're not big on the conspiracies and my affinity for them, but man, I might win you over if Eric Adams beats Mamdani. I think you probably call me and say, bro, what you got? You need to show me something. Cause that I don't. Because the big thing now is Rockland County. Everybody's talking about what happened to Rockland County, New York. So it can, these things happen. So hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, it's, Mamdani's got issues with the Jewish community. I mean, there's obviously, he needs to be able to speak on those concerns in a way that isn't kind of terrifying. And supporting global intifada is not a good look for anybody, I don't think. No matter what the sentiment behind it, saying intifada, trying to redefine what that means, it's just like Southerners trying to redefine the Confederate flag. Like, some things have meaning and you just got to accept it and not try to redefine it. And so you got that. And then you got, obviously, there are Republicans that are in New York that are probably going to vote for Eric Adams as the lesser of evils. And then you have the wealthy class, the Wall Street class. There's enough of a coalition there that if Mamdani doesn't really work the politics of the situation, I mean, he could lose. It seems hard for me. And I think he's running an excellent campaign focused on those real sort of nuts and bolts. I mean, I'm going to write about it today. I'm actually really impressed with his proposal on permitting reform. In all these big cities, I mean, here in Berkeley, I see businesses open up, and a year later, they still don't have signage because they haven't gotten the freaking permits for the signage. Why is everything so freaking hard, right? And so Mamdani has his whole proposal that to open up a barbershop, you have to go through 8 government agencies. You have to spend all this money. There's a viral video of him a while ago where he's talking to halal street vendors, and they're saying that they had to spend hundreds of thousands dollars on fixers to get them the permits, because otherwise they'll never get the permits, right? And that's actually adding to the cost of every meal that they serve, $1 to $2 per meal. Those are things that, on Mark, when Democrats run cities, right? So one place where you can say this is progressive politics personified, right? Because it's overwhelmingly Democratic. Why is it so hard to start a business sometimes? Why is it so hard to get a freaking permit?
Right.
Why is it so, why are there, and so it's easier if you're kind of you don't follow politics very closely. You're kind of trying to figure out who's, who you're going to vote for. It's easier for Republicans to point to cities and say, look at all the homeless, look at all the control, rampant street violence. Look at the fact that it's hard to start a business. Look, and they exaggerate. I mean, I'm not, obviously they exaggerate, but there's a kernel of truth there, which is what's so powerful about it. So it's what makes it so effective. It is incredibly hard in New York City to start a business. Why? There's no freaking reason. Who's taking I always wonder, Mark, like, who's taking a bite out of the process, right? Somebody, there's some layers of corruption there. And maybe it's those fixers, right? Maybe those fixers are kicking back to the politician, keep making it hard for people to take out permits. So you got to go through a fixer to open up, to be able to get a permit to sell food on the street. Obviously, government has an interest in safety and health.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. There's it doesn't have to be $200,000 fixer to open up your street cart, you know, food cart, or complete libertarian laissez-faire. Hopefully, you don't die of food poisoning. It's not those two extremes. And I think liberals really need to focus on being more efficient in how they deliver government, particularly in those places where they have full control. So they can demonstrate to the country that, look, democratic governance actually is beneficial to people. We actually are working single focusedly on making it easier for you to live your life, whether it's to start your business, whether it's to pay rent or buy groceries. Our job is to make it as easy as possible for you to do all those things. Otherwise, we're out of your way.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Very, very important. This is going to be an interesting race in New York, too, by the way. And we'll, maybe next week we'll spend some more time on that in and of itself. Why don't I? Maybe, you know what I think I'll do? I'll try to see if Mom Donnie can come on with us next week. Marco.
I'm out next week, but the week after. Yeah.
I'm at the days, weeks running together. So maybe we'll figure that out.
Okay.
How you wrote a compelling piece, and this is sort of a gospel you've been preaching from in your own ministry for some time. And I don't, we need to get that. We get it, but they need to get it. How this man is taking out the very people who support him. How the headline in Daily Coast, how a red county, how much red counties are dependent upon the government that they hate. And how he's taking away some of those services that they would depend on. But, you know, people are fooled and they don't know and they're being misled. Mm-hmm. So please, Marcos, let's get into that.
All right. So the as I mentioned earlier in the show, Republicans were very effective at winning lower income people. Those making under 50,000, those that feel the effects of inflation, older Americans that are dependent on Social Security and Medicare, also rural Americans that are dependent on everything from agricultural subsidies to, more recently, Medicaid funding. In fact, Medicaid is the only thing that is keeping rural hospitals afloat. And so you talk, one of the things that comes up a lot in Trumpism and Republicans is they talk about efficient government. We need more efficient government. Mm-hmm. Rural hospitals are not efficient. You got a county of 20,000 people. There's nothing efficient about an expensive hospital serving that small of a population. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Government doesn't necessarily have to be efficient. There's nothing efficient about rural broadband. There's nothing efficient about maintaining roads very few people drive on. In fact, there's nothing efficient about rural America. Efficiency is a lot of people in a city. That is efficient. You want an efficient government, then focus all your money and efforts on cities, because there's nothing efficient about rural America. But they've created this fiction, right? That they're the salt of the earth. They're so, you know, they're going to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. They are so independent. They are rugged individualists. And it's those city people. And, you know, of course, there's the, you know, lace with racism, right? Because it's a city where the blacks and the Latinos and the brown people, that's where they all live, and the liberals. And somehow they've created this fiction that it is urban America that is leeching off their hard work, when it is quite literally the opposite. Not only is it cities subsidizing rural areas, but it's also blue states subsidizing red states. And it's not even close. The only donor state that generates more federal revenue than it takes in return, the only that's red state is Texas, because of the oil and gas industry. All the others, every other red state, including Florida, all the other red states suck more federal dollars than they give. And you know who's giving more federal dollars than they receive? California, New York, New Jersey, Washington, Illinois, Connecticut, Massachusetts. The most liberal states are exactly the states that are pumping more federal dollars. And you know, Mark, we didn't complain. I don't think I've ever seen a liberal complain that our tax dollars were going to subsidize rural Nebraska. It was never a thing.
Never a thing.
But
let me do a sermonic insert. We don't complain, even though they're supposed to be the party of Jesus and evangelicalism and Christianity. Mm. So we don't mind that our big cities, liberal big cities, help to subsidize those who are without, the least in rural areas, but they're the Christians and it's, and the one. Okay, so go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go preach. This is called co-preaching in the pulpit. Okay, go ahead.
Right. So. But they have created this fiction that we're out to get them, that we hate them, that and so they voted in a way that is directly screwing them, because while the base of the Republican Party shifted to poor America in the last few cycles, Republican Party has not shifted its policy proposals. Nothing that they're doing is really helping poor America, right? In fact, what they're doing, and I've written about this, we've talked about it, it's almost like a scalpel how surgically they're destroying their own supporters. When they went after USAID, foreign aid, you know, we're going to stop that foreign aid. Who was getting those freaking contracts? It was agricultural contracts. That's food grown by American farmers shipped overseas.
Right.
So you cut $3 billion in USAID, which frankly is not, it's barely a fraction of the federal budget. You cut that, that's money straight out of rural America.
Right.
And you've done that with food programs. SNAP? What is SNAP? It's food. Who grows the food? American farmers. The poor, and you know, they're first of all, most of that, the disproportionate amount of SNAP benefits don't go to urban America. They go to rural America. And it's food that's grown by farmers. So that's a double whammy. It's a double whammy. They get hit both sides on that. And it's surgically. So when you look at, I wrote this story, I think, and you have the map. I saw that you were playing with the map earlier. Yep. That when you look at disbursements in federal, direct federal payments to people, I'm not talking like, like building having government facility or a defense contract. Talking that Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, VA benefits, SNAP benefits, anything that's direct cash to an individual. Rural counties, almost all of them, are overly dependent on those disbursements.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so those of you who are watching this, you can see that I actually circled the main urban areas. And what really stands out is that around urban cities, you don't have that dependence on government transfers. Like fewer than 15% of people are dependent. Where you look at significant, which is more than 25%, it's almost all of rural America and absolutely the South. The most Republican of Republican part of the country, the most supposedly ruggedly independent, all of it is a sea of, in this case, it's yellow. Yellow is the color of in the map, for those counties that are significantly reliant on government transfers. It's the freaking South.
And to be clear, we're talking about food assistance. When we talk about government transfers,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, that includes food stamps.
Medicaid.
Social Security and Medicare. So when you look at Social Security, obviously you're looking at places like Arizona are heavily reliant on that, and you know, parts of Florida, because that's where people go retire. So that makes sense. So this is not, this to a liberal, this is not a bad thing, Mark.
Right.
The fact that people all rely, like, we're happy that the government is providing a safety net to people. This is, we're not looking at it going like, ooh, this is bad that rural America is reliant on government benefits. We vote for that.
Yeah.
They vote against that because they created this fiction, Republicans, that it's the cities that are sucking up this money. When this map very clearly shows that the cities are the places where it's least happening, where people are least reliant on those government subsidies, those direct government payments. So they're voting to hurt cities when we're not being hurt by this. They are. This is like the irony of what Trump is doing, is that the vast majority of the damage he's doing to people that voted for him. Because Mark, the Black community was already being damaged. I mean, how much worse can they get, right?
Yeah.
Latinos, you know, heavily immigrant community, we've been cut out from a lot of these benefits anyway, because a lot of those immigrants are undocumented or they're not citizens. So they're already sort of like on a secondary status. Poor white people, though, I don't think they're used to this, Mark.
Mm. No.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Well, not used to being poor. I mean, they're poor. Maybe they don't think it'll get any worse. And maybe, again, as we've discussed, the OBJ and the MLK quotes, maybe they are comforted. You know, everybody has an opiate. You know, some of us have sports and Netflix. Maybe theirs is just good old-fashioned racism. I hate the other, and that helps me make it through the day, no matter how bad I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of messed up for them. I'm going to tie these two things together. You talked about Mamdani and speaking directly to immediate issues. So if I'm the Democrats in 2028, or really 2026 before, let's do the midterms. What Trump has done, y'all, is take more resources from you, and I'm going to put them back. And then show this map and show the numbers, mm-hmm. right? I mean, to me, that's the direct approach. It still may not work if my other speculation is true, is with the LBJ quote, but Marcos, you got to do that. You got to say, hey, y'all, you all have lost the Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid SNAP that you had before, those things that you need. Was it really worth it? I think I'm going to just have a slogan.
Yeah. Was it worth it? There you go. Was it worth it? Yeah.
Walter Mondale almost won with Where's the Beef? So, I mean, those things work. So,
yeah.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, was it worth it? As those rural hospitals shut down, they're already shutting down. Medicaid hasn't even been cut yet officially because the law was just passed. Hospitals are already shutting down because they just see the writing on the wall and there's no point in continuing.
Yeah. It's scary and crazy and ridiculous.
Now, keep in mind, a lot of the worst effects of the bill, of the law, don't take effect until after the midterms. So even Republicans try to sort of push the effects because they know it's political carnage right now.
Yeah.
They still have to deal with it in 2028. They ain't going to escape that. But we're not even seeing the full brunt of this until... and this is just part of, obviously, the damage that Trump is doing to rural America. Tariffs, right? Tariffs are making it difficult for farmers to sell overseas. That's hurting them. Again, they're the most susceptible and sensitive to inflation. Mm. Well, inflation is going up because of tariffs. So everything Trump is doing is very systematically. The CHIPS funding, Mark, we've talked about this before, right? This CHIPS bill is... billions of dollars to build new technology factories. And Biden had these located for reasons that I disagree with, but he had them put in red counties, you know, rural counties, red states. He thought that these counties would reward Democrats for spending money to economically develop their backyards. Of course, it didn't work because for one of the reasons is it takes years for those benefits. And Democrats aren't good at taking credit for accomplishments. Trump came in and slashed that, right? So you even have some Republicans saying, well, don't slash the project in my district that I voted against.
Right.
Because government spending is bad, except this government spending is actually good because this one's for economic development. The reality at this point, Mark, is that there's not a lot of fraud, waste, and abuse in our federal budget, right? You don't win a lot of elections with fraud scandals in government. So what you're cutting at this point is, and what everybody thinks is fraud or abuse, is somebody else is getting a government benefit, not them, right? There are government benefits. That's justified. Oh, they're struggling. They have bills to pay.
Mm.
But everybody else getting it, that's fraud.
Right.
That's abuse. Right. That's waste. And this is sort of the conservative mentality that is difficult to overcome. It's this notion that I voted for Trump so he would hurt other people. I didn't vote for him to hurt me. And we're seeing this every single day, right? So a lot of those people, I think, are hopeless, and we're not going to win. So you have the 30% of Trump supporters who, you know, they're gone, right? They're cult. And we don't even try to win them over. And then you got a bunch of people who, I don't know, bitter and angry. And I don't know what to do about those. Mark, we only need to win 5%, right? This is a 51-49 Democratic country. 5%. Let's move that up to 56-44. And then it's going to be very difficult for Republicans to win in a lot of places, and definitely the White House. That's what we need to do. So again, we don't need to convince everybody. We just need to convince 5% of people, was this really worth it?
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be easy next year just because Trump is messing things up so bad. But you know, we've been talking about this. The goal wasn't to win. We, you know, winning in 2020 was great. It didn't do us much good now in 2024, right? Like, yeah. We need to be able to win a sustained, long-term, durable, progressive majority. That's what we're looking for. So we really, hopefully, can use this moment of what unfettered Republicanism looks like. And it looks like it's going to hurt you. That's what it looks like. It looks like if you depend on government benefits, and most of you in rural America do, probably all of you, like it's farm subsidies and Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and SNAP and foreign aid and anything that subsidizes the food system,
right?
Rural broadband, like all the subsidies, rural America depends on government more than anybody else. Why are you voting for the party that wants to destroy government?
Those of you watching this map, and those of you who are listening, you can go to dailycoast.com and see the map. Marcos, there's a lot more yellow, which means significant government transfers. It's a lot more yellow than green, which is moderate to minimal government transfer. And it is covering the South. All over the South.
Mm-hmm.
So folks need to wake up and understand what they have done to themselves. I'm saying I've got some slogans. We came up with some slogans impromptu. You just did one yourself. You didn't realize, but I wrote it down. Now, just to give some context, this is the context. You all have shared this with you before. You can convince the lowest white man he's better than the best colored man. He won't notice you're picking his pocket. He'll give him somebody to look down on him, empty his pockets for you. Okay, so here are three slogans. Was it really worth it? Did you vote for Republicans to hurt you?
I like that.
And in memoriam to LBJ, don't let Republicans pick your pocket. Now, you know, that's because those are our suggestions. You know, they won't take it right away because they got to workshop them and consult them to death and pay somebody $10 million. Well, I don't know. No. That's not the answer.
It wasn't really worth it as a winner, though. That's.
I think that is a winner. I think you're right.
It's a winner. And it really speaks to, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? But it's much more pithy.
Yeah. Right. That's what Reagan did. He did was, well, you better off than you were 4 years ago for some reason. That made it, as clownish as he was, it made it somehow. But yeah, I think that's what we got to do, man. That's what we got to do. I get it. And that's the, to put it right there, back to what you said about Mom Donnie, deal with the immediate needs of the people. As I've said before, you all have visited. Is nobody who hasn't visited, well, maybe some folks don't leave a city ever in life, but when you travel and you go out in a rural or somewhat rural situation, deep in the suburbs or deep somewhere, and you drive for miles and don't see no hospital. See, I'm not a rural country type person. Y'all see, I'm a big city. You see all this behind me. I'm just big city guy. You know, that's me. But that's one of the reasons, because, you know, if I'm living in the country and I don't see no hospital, that don't make me feel good. Something might happen to me. I might need to get to the doctor, you know, sometime. You know, they say so-and-so died at home. That's probably why. If you close the few hospitals that are in these vast, rural, expansive areas, more people are going to die. Everybody's going to die.
So I wrote a story about a, I think it was a New York Times story. It was a New York Times story about this county, this Martin County, North Carolina, 24,000 residents. It's on to 22,000 residents. It's losing population. And their one hospital closed in 2023, and they were going to use Medicaid expansion funding to reopen this hospital. And they were well along the way to doing it, and that dream is dead. So the story is about all these people saying, well, the nearest hospital is 22 miles away, which is a 30-minute drive. And then people talking about people who died because they're sick, and that 30 minutes is too long. And if you want more advanced, and that's just like an emergency room, if you want more advanced medical services, that's 40 minutes away to the next biggest hospital. People die. People die. And I'm sure there's people who have a much more serious situation, because something that could have been handled quickly takes 30 minutes to get there. Now you got more complications, right? So it actually affects people. But again, it's not efficient to have a hospital in a county with 22,000 people. If you want government to be efficient, then you might as well write off all of rural America, because none of that is efficient. Now, as liberals, none of us have ever argued that. There's not a single liberal that has argued we should be shutting down rural hospitals.
Right.
And this is the part that really sort of is so messed up about our politics right now, is that those of us who have zero direct interest in what happens in Martin County, Pennsylvania, because I got three hospitals within 10 minutes of me, I'm good. Yet we try to fight for policies that would keep that hospital open, and they're voting against us.
Mm.
That's messed up.
Yeah. Wow, this is something. So I know who would love hearing and sharing this information himself. That's Bishop Barber, because that's also his ministry, is he goes around the country and talks to people about how they are hurting themselves. I mean, he's really made it his calling to try to help people understand how they hurt themselves, vote against themselves. And also how this is what he would say in those rural and red counties we're talking about, Marcos. It's not that all the people believe in Trump. It's that the Democrats are not doing a good job mobilizing those to the polls who don't believe in Trump and who agree with us, but who live in despair and discouragement. And they're not motivated.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a reality too.
But
that's
again, because Democrats aren't saying, here's what I'm going to do to help you.
Yeah.
So for one example, which just drives me crazy, and Republicans just made this mistake, but is why are you hiding benefits in the tax code? We're going to give you a child tax credit. No. So we got a child, send him a freaking check. Send him a check. It says Joe Biden. You got your Joe Biden check. You want to keep getting the check? Maybe vote for the Democrats. Keep getting your Joe Biden check. People still talking about Donald Trump checks, because in COVID, he signed his check. Joe Biden took his name off it because that was unseemly. And that's no freaking let people know who is responsible for benefit. Child tax credit. Mark, does anybody get excited when they freaking do the child tax credit when you're doing your taxes? No, they're pissed because they're doing their taxes. And even good liberals who are okay paying taxes don't like to pay taxes, right? This is not a fun time. Why are you going to hide the child tax credit? And if somebody sees child tax credit, they don't think, oh, thanks for the Democrats who passed this bill. Like, there's no causation. And you hide it in this tax bill at the worst time of the year when people are angriest. Right. You're not getting credit for nothing. Send them a freaking check. You want people with kids to send them, in fact, make it a monthly check. Imagine that. $100 a month. You know how that would help a lot of people? That's diapers. That's food. That's real, tangible help. Not $1,200 child tax credit, whatever it is. Make it a monthly benefit. It's just a check.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. I wasn't exactly told this was off the record, so I'll not reveal the names for the protection of the innocent. But a very prominent labor leader told me he saw Joe Biden recently, and that Joe Biden said one of the biggest mistakes he made was rationalizing that he should not put his name on those checks.
Oh, my God.
He said that. I'm not surprised he said
that. But he
said that was a big mistake, you know. But again, even when you said, Marcos, do something monthly, well, let's take it to the consultants and we got to do it, y'all. We got to flip this right. You sure you don't want to be? You sure you're over your? You've outgrown the thoughts about being chair. Because listen, man, I know it's heavy. I know it'd be a lot.
Nobody wants to be a chair.
And I'll be right there with you. you could be good cop, and I could be bad cop, and then we could reverse roles sometimes. You know, like everybody does. Everybody else does.
Because really,
we ain't gonna make it this way.
Give people a direct connection. Those signs that say funded by your tax dollars, put the name of everybody who voted for.
Yeah.
So when the Republican shows up trying to claim credit for the project, for the bridge reconstruction that he or she voted against, have the sign like, well, no, your name's not on the sign.
Mm.
But you know what? People want their name on the sign. They'll start voting for stuff that helps people to get their name on the billboard.
Yeah.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
So we need to stop thinking Donald Trump has broken all these norms and traditions, and now we realize that politics is really it's a marketing gig. Treat it as a freaking marketing job. You're marketing to people what you're doing for them. And no, hiding it in some complicated proposal that where you're going to build something that's going to show up 10 years later. I mean, you can still do that, but you still got to deliver people tangible benefits to people, and you got to let them know who deliver that tangible benefit. And that's why I just thought of this monthly idea. Like, that's even better. Every month they get money. They get Democratic money. That's a Democrat's money. And Republicans want to stop that check. You can see people gonna start voting if it's only their check is at risk. Of course you're gonna start voting. Hell, Republicans are gonna talk about how they're gonna increase the amount of the check, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. More help for people, and then tax the billionaires to pay for it—a wealth tax, not a script, like wealth tax.
And Marcos has been saying something else we've not been hearing enough of, folks. Why do we need billionaires in the first place. And, you know, we live in such a capitalist fantasy world, Disney world, castle, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty society. Everybody's looking for the white horse and the knight and the fairy tale and the wealth. And most of us go to our graves and it never happens. So we need to let some of this stuff go. Most of us will not be billionaires or millionaires.
And why do you need billions?
Right. Why do you need it? Why do you need
it? What are you doing with all that money?
Why do you need it? Anyway.
Make $10 million and stick it in the Vanguard and you're pulling $800,000 a year just passively. You can't live on that.
You can. You can. What else do you need? What else do we need?
So Eagle. Folks. Yeah.
Folks, we gotta think about all these things. Marcos Melitzis, dailycoast.com. Another edition of Thursday Coast in the books. Thursday Coast will be back in 2 weeks. I'm gonna see what Zoran's doing.
All right.
And, let's get together. Let's see what's up. Thank you, Marcos, as always, buddy.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.